services. As many of you know, because of the weather and road conditions, we have moved our services to an address in cyberspace. And we're just broadcasting from our home. And so what we would do is go ahead and begin with a song. We're using Faith for Him to Praise. Hymn number 234, Jesus Loves Even Me.
Look forward to the time when we will sin no more, and that we shall be
you restore them to good health. We're thankful for the good reports that we have heard already. We do pray for Charles, too, and ask for your healing upon him and others who may not be feeling well. Those traveling, we're thankful for Bill and Dottie making it safely. And we do pray for Carol and ask for your safe traveling mercies upon her. And many other needs, Father, we could bring before you, but we just ask now that you will bless the preaching of your word, God, that it would work effectually in our hearts, that we would, Lord, go from here, and that it would be hid in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, that we would go from here forth being a better testimony to your saving grace. Use us, Lord, for your glory. For all we can do is plant and water, but you must give the increase according to your sovereign design and good pleasure. We ask now these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Tom.
Good to see you tonight. Hope you all are doing well. It's kind of a new thing for me. Don't misunderstand. This is Grace Baptist Church, not Bamboozer Baptist Church. And we're going to do the best we can adjusting to this setup tonight. But if you would turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to take our text from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The title of my message this evening is God's jewels. Now from our text, God compares his elect, his children, to jewels, which means that God regards his people as special treasures, that our God considers us to be valuable, precious. And God obviously has a very high regard for his saints, to liken them to precious jewels that are considered to be valuable and rare. So tonight what we want to do is look at this and understand this metaphor better on how God likens his people, his children, to jewels. Now the first point is the natural condition of jewels. Diamonds, rubies, pearls, even gold and silver jewels are not beautiful until they're put through a specific process. In fact, almost all precious metals and jewels are hidden in the earth. They're covered with rocks and dirt and grime. And they first have to be mined. They have to be dug out. They have to be cut in a certain way. They have to be polished before they're ready for display. And in like manner, the condition of all of God's elect prior to salvation is that they are of the earth. They're of Adam. They're covered with the filth and the depravity of sin. Every aspect of their being, every moral faculty has been corrupted by sin. Their hearts, their minds, their wills are polluted. They're corrupted. They're in the filth and the depravity of their own nature. Man in his natural state is not beautiful in the sight of God. But God in his grace transforms his elect brings them out of the earth. You see, we were once poverty-stricken beggars. We were covered with the leprosy of sin. We were wallowing on the dung heap of our own depravity. Jesus said of the heart of man, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts."
Amen.
Murders and adulteries and fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Our will was perverse. "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. That's the condition that we were in. Before God mined us, found us, brought us out of the darkness and the dirt of this world. Now, another thing about this point is jewels in their natural condition are rare and hard to find. It takes a painstaking process to locate and mine the jewels in their raw condition. It takes a lot of work to operate a diamond mine. It takes a lot of painstaking effort to try to find pearls in the shells of oysters. I thought about that. It may take years of time and expense. And they may have so much labor and equipment and money involved in trying to mine diamonds, but all it takes is hitting the mother lode and finding that one precious jewel that makes all their labor work. And so it is with trying to reach God's jewels. They're in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. They're scattered all over the world. And they, as God's people, we ought to go forth. Now, they're hard to find. There's great sacrifice. There's great expense in getting the gospel out. But we ought to have that desire to try to see God's jewels brought to the light and the glory of God. You know, if I told you tonight that I knew for sure that there were just all kinds of jewels out there in your yard, and all you'd have to do is go out and dig them up, you'd probably shut down your Bamboozer account right now. And even though it's cold and snowy, you'd go out there with your shovel and start digging up for jewels. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has His elect scattered all over the world, and we should spare no expense in trying to reach them through our sacrifice, our resources, our money, our mission efforts. We ought to be in the business of seeking out God's jewels.
Amen.
Now, the second point is the transformation of jewels. After diamonds and other jewels are found, they're put into the hands of a skilled jeweler who knows just how to cut, polish, and set them so as to bring out their luster and their beauty. But they do have to go through a transformation process. And the same is true with God's jewels. They're sought out and they're mined through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel of grace. They are brought out of the darkness of the earth into the hands of the jeweler, our sovereign God, who carefully works on them in the light. Where does a jeweler work? He doesn't work in darkness. He works in light. He works with special light. And so it is with God's jewels. We are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and the master jeweler himself begins a great work of grace in the hearts and minds of His people, transforming them to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God has to bring about this transformation in our lives so that we love the light. We love His holiness. We love His presence. And that only comes through the power of God's grace.
Amen.
And the Bible describes it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight as one of God's jewels, it means that you have been brought out of the darkness of sin and deadness and depravity and ungodliness and unholiness and impurity, and you've been brought to the light where God is now working on you. He is the master jeweler. You know, as a general rule, people choose to purchase jewels because of their finished beauty and worth. But not so with God. He saw us when we were covered up with all of our own depravity. He didn't choose us based on any beauty or goodness He saw in us, but it was a sovereign, unconditional love that He exercised. And then He transformed us. Jewels have to be washed. They have to be cleansed. And so we are washed positionally in the blood of the Lamb in justification. Revelation 1:7 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and His Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever. And that work, that positional work of justification, is a cleansing that is once and for all, that will never be changed. Then God takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to polish us, to cleanse us, and to bring out the luster of His jewels. That's the washing of sanctification. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. One of the works of the New Testament church is in Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word.
Yes.
So the jewels have to be cleansed before they're put on display. Now sometimes this transformation process requires sanding or intense pressure to bring out the beauty of the jewel. Pearls are formed by the irritation of sand within an oyster shell. Diamonds have to be cut in just a certain way in order to bring out their brightness and their luster. Gold has to have the dross burn off. And so it is with God's jewels. In this transformation process, there are times that we must be afflicted and chastened so that we can be fit for the Master's use. You know, it's interesting how the writers of Scripture viewed affliction so unlike we do. Whenever trials or afflictions come our way, we often complain. We often say, why? But in reality, we ought to say what James said. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Affliction is what brings out the beauty of a child of God, conforming us to the image of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 on affliction, for our light affliction, that's the weight of affliction, is light in comparison to what we deserve, an eternity in the lake of fire. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's the length of our afflictions. They're always temporary. They're a very short period of time, and they always, this too shall pass. They're temporary when you compare them to all of eternity. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what shall be revealed in us in glory. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So affliction has the added benefit that it brings this result of glorifying God, conforming us to Jesus Christ. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So in the transformation process, we not only need to have the cleansing of justification and the cleansing of sanctification, but we also need this transformative process that's brought about in trials and afflictions. Spurgeon said that sturdy ships are built to sail on rough waters. And so as children of God, we can expect trials as part of life in order to grow in grace. Now thirdly, the third point tonight, the value of jewels. The value of jewelry is determined by the cost. What does it cost to make? What does it cost to mine it, to find it, to purchase it, to put it in its setting, and then to sell it? When you think about how valuable God's elect are to Him, we're bought with a price that we can never pay back. That's why we're called unprofitable servants. We were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How valuable are God's jewels to Him? Before the world began in the covenant of grace, when the Father chose a number out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, He gave them to Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus agreed to be their surety. He agreed to be their substitute. He agreed in covenant love to come to this earth, to be found in fashion as a man, being born of a virgin, living a perfect life, with having complete and absolute, immaculate, impeccable righteousness. Our Lord lived perfectly. And then He went to the cross after being savagely beaten to a pulp. And He had His beard plucked out. And He was spat upon. And He was hated by men and mocked and humiliated and nailed to a tree of cursing, where He bore the sins of His people as He hung upon that tree of cursing. Our Lord was bearing the wrath of God for our sins as He suffered in His body on the tree. He bore our sins. That ought to humble us tonight when we consider what our Savior was willing to pay, the ransom price of His very own blood, His own life. He sacrificed. He took upon Himself our sins. And in return, He gave us His righteousness the moment God gave us the grace to believe on Him. You see, He poured out His body, soul, spirit, in order for us to be saved. He literally gave everything to purchase us as His jewels. He was willing to give up the glories of heaven, the adoration of angels, the comfort of His Father's bosom, and the fellowship that He shared. And He came and said, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken me. He was willing to say, I thirst, on the cross, because that would have been our woe throughout all eternity in the lake of fire. He suffered in our stead to buy us and to purchase us with His blood. So that's the value of God's jewels. They're bought with a price you can't measure. It's inestimable. You can't place a price on the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. We owe our Lord everything for purchasing us with His blood. The value of jewels is also brought out by this truth. If a man or a woman has some valuable jewelry, they go to great pains to protect it, to guard it, to keep it from harm. Some wear their jewels on their hands. And so it is with our God. Isaiah 49:16, Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Our security is bound up in the hand of God, in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We are, God's jewels are safe. They are secure in the hand of Christ. Jesus is our great high priest. I believe He bears all of His jewels on His breastplate. And He knows all of our names. Names that were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He not only purchased His jewels, but He also intercedes for them. Now, there's a disparity here. In human terms, jewels may be lost. If you have a diamond ring or a very valuable piece of jewelry, you may lose it and never regain it. But not so with God's jewels. He purchased them. He keeps them. And He gives them a righteousness that is eternal. The Bible says in Isaiah 51:6, Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now some jewels are so valuable to God, and they're precious to Him. And because of that, they're set, that some jewels are set in special rings or necklaces. And I believe God does the same thing. There are some jewels that He selects to set in His church. God has set some in the church. See, not every jewel is a member of the Lord's kind of church. And I believe it's a special honor and privilege and favor that God would not only save us by His grace, and that He would call us one of His children, but that He would also lead us, direct us, and add us to one of His New Testament Baptist churches where He can receive glory through our lives. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So what an honor and privilege it is, not just to be a saved jewel, but to be one set in a certain, specific, precious setting in one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. Now, what are the purpose of jewels? Well, precious jewels declare the wealth of the person who owns them. God's people are to show forth the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ to a world that is spiritually bankrupt. We are to live in such a way that we show that our Lord is wealthy in grace and power. show others how wealthy our God is, how rich He is in grace to show such kindness to poor sinners like me and you. Precious jewels are used to adorn and beautify the owner. And God's children are to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior by carefully maintaining good works. Titus 2:10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Another purpose of jewels is to be able to withstand careful examination and to prove their authenticity. Now, if you brought to me a diamond tonight, and you put a diamond on one side, a real diamond, and a zirconium on the other, I wouldn't have any way of telling which is which. Never have owned a diamond. Don't even know what the quality of one is. But you know, a jeweler, he can look at a diamond, and with that trained eye, he can see what is authentic and what is not. And I believe with all my heart that as God's people, we ought to examine ourselves and prove that we are authentic jewels. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know, I fear that there are a lot of counterfeits out in our world today who are living and saying that they're professors of Jesus Christ, but their lives betray them. And I believe a lot of it is produced, a lot of zirconiums are being produced by faulty evangelism, by just trying to get people to repeat a prayer and not insisting on repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our text back in Malachi, there are three tests to prove the authenticity of the jewel there in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. The tests are this. Do you really fear God? Do you respect His word, His person, His command? Do you understand that the God of heaven and earth hearkens, that He hears, that He views and sees your life and everything that you're doing? They feared the Lord. They spoke often one to another. And they spoke often one to another of the glory of Christ, of the glory of God, of the grace that He's extended. They talk of holy things. They talk of scriptural things, not just the things of this world. And then it says, and they thought upon His name. They feared the Lord, and they thought on His name. God's jewels will meditate. They will think deeply upon the glory of their owner, the one that owns them. So tonight I pray that you're an authentic jewel, that you're not a zirconium, that you're not fool's gold, but that you're truly one of God's elect. Another purpose of jewelry is to shine. Have you ever been to the... I never go to jewelry stores, but they have them at the mall. If you ever go to the mall, they don't have their best diamond somewhere back in the dark, you know, where nobody can see it. They usually have it displayed on a special table, and they got this light that comes shining in it so that when you're 30 feet away, that light kind of hits you in the head, in the eye, and it draws you to it. You see, God's jewels are to show forth the glory of God, the light and the holiness of God. Rubies and diamonds don't naturally shine until they're in the light. And then they reflect the light and show forth the brilliant luster. And they show forth their worth. And you know, that's that's the only way that we can show forth the glory of God, is walking in His light and having fellowship with Him. The Bible says in Philippians 2:15 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And of course, Jesus said that we're to let our light shine before men, that they may behold our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Now, another purpose of jewelry is to evoke praise. You ever seen a young lady when she's given an engagement ring and she comes into church and she kind of walks in like this? Normally she'd just walk in, but when she has her engagement ring in, she kind of walks like this. And is that a ring? Oh, wow! Look at that diamond. He must really love you. You know, and of course she is just overwhelmed and so thankful. You know, God's people should live in such a way that we cause people to praise our Lord, to see His glory working in us. You know, jewels are often admired by their owner, especially if you have a jewel or a pin or a brooch or something that is of great affectionate value to you. Perhaps your mother, your grandmother, somebody in your family has passed it down. And you look at that and you begin to admire it. And you begin to reflect. And this is something that amazes me. God's jewels, He looks at them with admiration and honor because He sees us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, He can say, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Last point, the gathering of God's jewels. One day, God is going to gather out and steal away all of His jewels in the rapture. Even the most precious rubies, diamonds, and gold jewelry, they all have flaws. Even the very best of them. And in the day that God gathers His jewels, He's going to completely purge us from all the flaws, all the sins, all of the defects, and conform us to the image of the fairest jewel of heaven, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him. And all the dross, no flesh shall inherit the kingdom. Our old nature is going to be put away. The dross of sin will nowhere be found. We are going to be conformed to the image of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. This vile body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And throughout all ages, the King of glory is going to display the riches of His grace through the jewels that He chose, that He purchased, that He preserved, that He purified, that He kept, that He glorified. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6-7, "And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I pray tonight that you know what it means to be one of God's precious jewels. And it could be tonight that our Lord comes to gather all the jewels that He's purchased to perfect them go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to preach the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the metaphors of Scripture that are so suggestive and powerful. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your transforming power. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us out of darkness as a master jeweler to work on us in the light and to cleanse us and to make us fit for the master's use. Lord, help us to shine brightly. Help us to display the love, the grace, the glory, and the holiness of our great God. We need you tonight, Lord. I pray that you bless this message for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name.